This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our regular Thursday visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
Always great to be here, Greg.
Well, the big story in Washington today, it's an event we've been anticipating for a couple days, the dueling national security speeches between former Vice President Dick Cheney and, of course, the first address given by President Obama at the National Archives. Very different ideologies in terms of how to prosecute the war on terror, sparring indirectly over enhanced interrogation techniques, the usefulness of Guantanamo Bay. What's your sense on how the debate changed, if at all, today? John, who had the upper hand?
Well, I would have to give it to Cheney. Not since Harry Truman went on national television in 1953 to rebut charges that his administration was soft on security risks in government has so high an official from the previous administration maintained such a high profile as Dick Cheney did this week. In a 35-minute address to the American Enterprise Institute, he went on point by point against the previous speech by Barack Obama made at the National Archives. Obama raised more issues and questions than he answered or resolved, throwing in some attacks on the previous administration about ideological reasons for the conclusions they reached and trimming the facts. He also has yet to say what he will do precisely with those who are interned in Guantanamo and could be turned loose in the United States. He has yet to say where. He has said they will judge terrorists on a case-by-case basis. But beyond that, there are some very questionable areas. And also, he certainly has raised the possibility of overturning 56 years of government secrecy laws. Former Vice President Cheney was forceful, direct. He did not flinch one minute in defending the administration's decisions and predicted that upon reflection, the president would not close Guantanamo because he had no other place to send the terrorists. And finally, he makes the point that critics of the Bush administration find very, very hard to disagree with, that there has not been an attack on U.S. soil since that black day in 2001, 9/11.
John, very quick follow-up. Did anything the president said today change the mind of Congress in a distinctive way?
I sincerely doubt that because, again, Congress has already said no to the appropriation of $80 million for the transfer of prisoners from Guantanamo. Congress almost seems to be saying what polls show, that it's not a sign of shame to have Guantanamo, that that's a symbol of security for this country. And it makes it very, very difficult for comrades to rescue the terrorists who are there. My guess is that Congress will agree with the public and say no to moving the 240 into the United States.
John, many believe that the greatest terrorist threat right now looms from the state of Iran, which is getting closer to a deployable nuclear weapon. They successfully test-fired a missile capable of reaching U.S. troops in certain areas and the nation of Israel. We also saw the first face-to-face meeting between Obama and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this week. Do you get the sense that the Iranian problem is more urgent for the president following that meeting?
I think that Prime Minister Netanyahu made that point with the president, and we'll see if it resonated with him. Certainly, President Obama's talk of a two-state solution, something underscored in the briefing we reporters had from Press Secretary Robert Gibbs, did not resonate with Prime Minister Netanyahu. That said, it's very clear that this administration is trying to reach out to Iran, and that the president, who has a high standing among people throughout the Middle East, is going to try to use that standing to reach out to Iran. And they're probably trying to reach out to the government through some back channel at this point. I wouldn't doubt it for a minute. Where it leads and what we will be dealing with, only time will tell. My own feeling is I would not even attempt a process like that until after the election, until we see whether Ahmadinejad is still in office.
John, the president has held several major energy events this week, and of course he's been pilloried by some for spending too much money. The only person probably getting more grief for spending too much money was also at that energy event, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who really took it on the chin on the vast majority of those initiatives designed to raise taxes and other revenues to help offset a massive state budget deficit. How rough shape is the Terminator in right now?
Well, the Terminator is near the termination of his term as governor. Polls show he has record low approval ratings. And, of course, he does not have to go back and face the voters again. He will be out of office in 2010. That said, the governor did get some cuts through the legislature earlier as almost a quid pro quo for getting the right to raise certain taxes and fees in California with these initiatives. Without the initiatives, under California law, the governor can go back under a procedure called the May Reserve and change his initial budget. The May Reserve has been postponed to June. I have no idea that Schwarzenegger, dealing with an overwhelmingly Democratic legislature, will pull back some of the cuts he's made. Stay tuned on that one.
John, let's follow up from last week and your brush with fame in the White House press room. We're not the only ones that have paid a lot of attention to this. You've been quite popular at even international media.
Yes, the BBC did an entire program on it. They sent a car out to get me, brought me to their studio in downtown Washington, and just asked me to talk into a microphone. And they not only had a program on it, they had a panel discussion afterward.
And, John, another big issue at the White House press room this week, who will be the next nominee, and when will we know who the nominee is? Any concrete answers on either of those questions?
Well, my friend and colleague Mark Noller of CBS was trying to get Mr. Gibbs to talk about that a little bit more, and Gibbs would only say, I'll tell you when the president has made a decision. And he turned to Noller and said, Mark, if you want to fill out a resume for the job, we'll give you one on the way out. That said, Robert Gibbs made it clear the president has not interviewed anyone yet. Now, my colleagues did raise a few eyebrows when Michigan's Governor Jennifer Granholm was here to discuss the changed CAFE standards. Governor Granholm, a graduate of the Harvard Law School, has been mentioned as a possible Supreme Court nominee, but again, Gibbs was giving no clues that day. I imagine that the president will make the decision sooner rather than later after a string of personal interviews that, as they were with the previous administration, will be very, very private.
John, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, great to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Remembering to turn on my vibrate button, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. This is Dateline Washington.